I'll talk about disturbing thoughts, how to deal with disturbing thoughts. They're called worries. I just try to change my old messages and give them fresh. Okay, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. I'm reading the New Living Translations. Handling the cares of life. Handling the cares of life. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. And Psalm chapter 55 and verse 22, I'm reading the New International Version, Psalm 55, 22. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be forsaken. Or shaken. For shaking. Okay. Psalm 55, Roma Fisher translation. Let's go read it in the Amplified Version. It says, cast your burdens on the Lord, releasing the weight of it. You know, I was reading Proverbs 15. It says that worries weigh a person down. We don't want to be weighed down. My sister trying to call me during my... You're calling me during my service. It's 7 o'clock, chum.
What was it?
Anyways, see, you got two disturbing thoughts already. Cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it, and he will sustain you. Will God sustain you with the weight?
Yes.
Well, I felt like I ate so much today sitting down. I felt like a weight of glory. No, a weight came down. So he said he will never allow, everybody said never. Never allow the consistently righteous to be moved, slip, made to slip, fall, or fail. So we see here that God deeply cares about each one of us, and he wants to keep his plan going. If you worry, you're not going to stay within the plan of God. And if you're worried, you'll never finish the plan of God for your life. You will diminish, or you will fall or slip what it says here. You'll be so shaken up, you won't be able to follow the will of God. Because we know Jeremiah 29 says God has a good plan for us. Right? In Psalm 38, verse 8, the Amplified says, the Lord will accomplish that which concerns me. So God is always there by your side, standing with you, lifting you, and, leading the way by hand, so to speak. And no matter what comes your way, he's there for you. He'll always take care of you. Every morning I get up and I lift my hands up to God. I said, Lord, I will not worry. I promise you I will not worry today. And I will say, I don't have a fear. I have no fears. I will not be afraid today. I'm courageous. But do I get scared? Yes, I have a lot of temptations to be afraid. A lot of temptations to have worries. But that's temptations. Those are the sufferings we have. Every one of us has those sufferings. That's one kind of suffering you'll always have living this world, is you'll always have worries, fresh ones every day. You'll never not have to deal with worries. You'll always have to deal with them every day. So if you get rid of one, another one will pop up, just like dandelions in the summertime. Remember how they just get rid of a few to come back again? So you have to understand that God will keep his promise to you. He will not let you fall. He'll not let you fail get really destroyed because of it. He'll always keep his promise. So stand firm so let's go read Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, another scripture here. Don't worry about anything. So is it okay to worry about the small things or the big things? Which one do you use? Yeah, small ones, medium-sized ones. No? So he says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. You know, you could the best way to deal with prayer, no, prayer, the best way to deal with fears is prayer, right? Prayer. And you can do that all the time. You can pray and cast it on the Lord all the time. You know, so it didn't say, you know, it says here, tell God what you need. Don't tell your wife what you need. Don't tell your husband what you need. Don't call your church right away. Don't call Facebook. Tell God what you need. It didn't say nothing here about Facebook. I see a lot of people asking everybody to pray for them when they should be praying for themselves. The reason why you ask Facebook is because you don't know anything. You should know the Word, what the Word says. I'm not trying to be hard on you. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. Amen. So we got to go to the Word of God. Amen. So we get into trouble. We tell everybody all our troubles on Facebook and online, whatever. Or every time you meet somebody for coffee, you tell them all the worries you have. Now, it's okay to try to problem solve something, but to rehearse everything, it means you still have them. Hello. Praise God. Amen. So if you're always going to fret about it, then you have them. God's not going to do anything about them. As long as you're going to sit and have coffee with someone and tell them all your cares, all your worries, then you still have them. Amen. You know, I feel mad at people because they keep hanging on to things they shouldn't be hanging on to. And, you know, I think that's the way the Lord sometimes might feel about us, but sometimes we do that. We got to learn how to do this and take care of it. God didn't say, listen, take your cares to Pastor Roman. No, I'm not the Lord or somebody else. He says, take it to the Lord. The Lord is the Lord is the one that wrote the Bible. He says, bring it to me. Okay? So here's an idea you need to understand. If you don't deal with your worries, they will overcome you. They'll deal with you. They will gang up on you, all of them, every one of them. And I was telling my wife, I was having some supper with her. I didn't need supper, but I ate anyway. And I was saying, you know, my mom, she didn't have a career. She looked after eight kids, eight of us. And I mean, she worked when she was young, but she did all the stuff, but put a lot of men to shame. The kind of work she did, night and day. She never had no washing machines, and she didn't have running water. She did all the stuff on her own. She had to, if you want to wash, you got to go and call the water, make the fire, wash the all the kids' clothes, eight kids, with a washboard, and wring it out, put it on the line, and clean up all the house, cook for eight kids. Whatever kind of meal she had, and I saw her over the years, and she was a number one world class worrier. She worried about every kid, and she worried about her husband. Her husband drank all our money, but my dad would go to the. He was a bushwhacker and worked in a trap line and the fishing and all that. That's how he earned his living, and so he'd fish and bring all the wildlife food and all that. And he'd sell whatever he had, and he would. That's how he brought us up. He was a traditional man. That's what he lived by. And my dad would, when he got to drinking, he'd disappear for 2-3 weeks, and we wouldn't have anything to eat. Now I'm not telling you just to feel sorry for me. I'm just telling you how it was. And my mom, you know, she was raised in the residential school. She was there for about eight years. She was just a little girl when she was in there, and came out when she was a young girl, and married my dad right after that. They were arranged marriage. How many of you were arranged marriage? Your mom told you to marry somebody. Your dad told you to marry somebody. And so there's one in here. We'll talk to you later. And so my mom married my dad, and they remained married for 45 years, I believe it was, till she had cancer and died at 69 years old, or 59 years old, excuse me, 59 years old. Imagine that, dying at 59 years old. She said, I'm going to make 60. I'll be having old age pension. She never did make it. So anyway, and I would look at my mother, and I would see the worried look on her face. I would see it. I would literally see my mother's worry, the heaviness on her. She didn't know in the Bible. She didn't know how to cast her cares on the Lord. She's looking for my dad to help out. I watched this over the years, and I learned from it. Thank God. Amen? And I see her have anxiety attacks to the point where I had to take her to the ambulance, drive her to the hospital, and give her oxygen and give her medication. And I saw her time and time and time again get overwhelmed by worry, get overwhelmed by worry. Brother Hagin told us, he said, you know, most mental health issues stem from worry, anxiety problems. And so he said he talked to someone who was from the medical association. He said most medical issues, most problems in people's physical health is because of worry. Are you here? You know, it affects everything. Your high blood pressure, your lungs. In fact, worry and stress will give people some forms of cancer. That's what it says. I've read the different articles on that thing there. You wonder how they got these things. So these things affect people. It affects your relationships with people and how you interact with people, how happy you are on the scale of 1 to 10 when you go out during the daytime. And so I was telling my wife here, you know, Brother Hagin told us a story. He said, you know, and they were trying to get some kind of money for a building or something like that, they were trying to get money, and they were talking. He was talking to him. I think it was another issue with a car or something. But he told that guy, "Okay, when I get the money," Brother Hagin said, "I'm gonna get the money. Well, we'll have the money for you at the end of the month." He said that by faith. He didn't have no money. He said, I'm going to get the money. He said he sat there talking to that person. I can't remember who it was. It was somebody that he was telling. And all he could think about, he saw the person's lips moving, but he didn't hear what he was saying. All he was thinking about is that worry in his mind, going around in his mind. And so there's people walking around with all kinds of worries today. And so I was looking at some things here about worry and how it affects us. It says here, worry is interest paid on tomorrow's, I sound like that thing that you guys sent me, a little boy. Do you remember that one? We should show that sometime. Anyway, he started out pretty good, but then he just bumble it off. Worry is interest paid on troubles before they come due. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. The only way to worry about nothing is to pray. Is to pray about everything. We just saw that. A day of worry is more exhausting than a week of work. That's amazing. Worry never robs tomorrow of its sorrow. It only saps today's joy. No amount of regretting can change the past, and no amount of worrying can change the future. Remember, today is tomorrow you worried about yesterday. Stop worrying and start living. Worry is the misuse of imagination. And so if you don't deal with worries and cares and anxieties, they will deal with you. And so we have to learn how to take what God tells us to do. We're not supposed to carry worries and burdens. We cannot sustain ourselves. God wants you to take every care and worry you have about your healthy, your somewhat body that you have, that you want to have health in your body, right? You don't want to worry about your body. You guys are pushing me too much. You're believing too much at one time. Amen. That's what it's like up here sometimes, right? I mean, If you felt like running away, if you ever felt like running away, you're not alone. Every once in a while, somebody asked Billy Graham about that, you know. We all feel like running away once in a while. My wife lets me run away once in a while. She said, I'm quitting. She said, okay. She lets me worry, you know, have that day off, like a few minutes at least. They say, you know, I quit this week, but come back after Sunday. Come back on Sunday. So there are many actually have tried to run away from their troubles. And I don't have to ask that because I know you've done that. That anybody here have tried to run away from their cares, but it always seemed like they end up in the same place. They come back again. Any geographical escape, like say, running away to another place, is only temporary. Wherever you go, your mind goes with you. You can't just leave your mind there, it goes with you. But at least changing the scenery stops that for just a little while. So we have to learn to deal with our worries. And God tells us to cast them on Him. So we all want to escape. We all want to run away from cares. We all want to leave our worries behind. Here's what Psalm 55:6 says, the King James says, and I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. You know, that's like the want to escape. You want to run away. Cares of life want to make you feel like running and hiding and escaping. And we all want to take a vacation. And then I saw just somebody here, my cousin went away to somewhere. She ran away for a while, but she's back again. But, you know, it's good to take a break. You need to take a break. So then you have to pay for it when you come back. So there are fresh worries coming to you every day. They're coming to you every single day. We can never escape the cares. That's why we have to learn how to keep throwing them on the Lord. And the Lord can only give you the rest that you need. It's useless or futile to worry about things that God said He would provide us for. God said He would heal you. Why are you worried about your health? He said He'll heal you, or He already laid your sickness on Jesus. You know, I always tell the Lord, thank you for healing me. You already dealt with it. He's not going to do anything about your health right now. He's not going to do nothing about it. You have to do something about your decision about trusting God for your health. He's already done all the healing He's going to do when He laid your sickness on Jesus on the cross. So there's no use worrying about your health. He's already provided for all your needs. Unless you're making up all your bills yourself, then you have to take care of those. Like, you know, don't spend over your budget. Learn how to live within your budget and learn to build your faith on where you stand. Praise God. Amen. So He will take care of all your needs. He said He would. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. Those who love the Lord, He said, I'll take care of every one of them. Amen. So somebody said they're so worried they can't even pay attention in church. You know, you need to take a break. Anyway, we need to know what God promised us in His word so we wouldn't have to worry about anything small or large or whatever. Worry adds nothing to your life. It doesn't add anything to you. So somebody said, well, I know I have to worry, but, you know, I started teasing my wife about different things. I said, oh, I have to worry because you're not going to do it, so I might as well take it on. You know, so we have to, you know, she lets me do it. Anyway. Matthew 6, 27 and 34, Amplified says, and who of you, God's saying to you. Sometimes we think God is, you know, he will speak to you very strongly. He'll talk to you real strongly. I remember one time I treated my wife, you know, in a rather rough way. You know, I want to say, you know, my old res way, you know. But the Lord had to check me. He spoke to me. He said, you don't treat my daughter like that. And that's amazing how God spoke to me like that. So, anyway, that's just an addition. I'm not going to cost anybody anything here. Who of you by worrying can add 1 hour the length of his life? You cannot add any lengths to your life. any length to your life by worrying. It's not going to add nothing to you. When he says add 1 hour, it means, you know, just adding, you know, whatever good to your life. Verse 34 says, do not worry about tomorrow. I'm going to ask you a question. You don't have to lift your hand up. Don't lift your hand up. How many of you are worrying about something tomorrow or the week coming over there? So you worry about tomorrow when it's not even here yet. And besides, most of the things that happen, I heard 99.9% of the time, never happen. Never happen. So for tomorrow, we'll worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. In other words, they keep coming. There's a new. One day you're worried about your car. Next day you're worried about your house, your foundation. Next thing you worry about something else. There's always something new happening at work, no matter what it is. And we're the ones that's caused a lot of the trouble ourselves, right? So you can't never get rid of cares as long as you live in this world. There are fresh versions of cares coming at you every day. That's bad news, man. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. It steals today's joy. God's word shows us how to deal with cares. We have to understand, there's another person calling me from Horn Pain, Ontario. I don't know who this is, but anyway, we got him off here. We aren't supposed to handle this on ourselves. So we have to let God. So let's ask ourselves a question. What is worry? Well, I'm glad we can discuss that tonight. It's fearful, upsetting thoughts which dominate your mind. It's fearful, upsetting thoughts that dominate your mind. It's thoughts of stress and care and burdens and fears and anxiousness. It's thoughts about things you cannot solve on your own, about everyday living. You know, we have what we call natural thinking. Natural thought and spiritual thoughts. Natural thinking is based on human effort, on what you can do about it, what the doctor can do about it, what the banker can do about it, what the social worker, the lawyer can do about it, what your husband or wife can do about it. That's natural thinking, what they're going to do. They can only do so much. And it comes short of solving life's difficulties. Thinking on the natural limits us to our own ability, our human ability, not on what God can do for us through his word. Do not be dominated by human thinking. Spiritual thinking is based on a higher level of life. It's thinking about what God says and what his thoughts are about your situation. Think about those things instead of thinking about what you can do or somebody else can do. Think about what God said. Say what God said. Confess it to yourself. Meditate on it. That's what meditation is. Talking to yourself about what the word says. It'll bring joy to you. It'll bring strength to your life. Go home. Your medicine is go talk to yourself tonight. Spend at least 5 minutes talking about your biggest problem, getting a scripture and rehearsing that to yourself, speaking that to yourself. You know, and say, look, God says he's taking care of my problems. I'm going to sleep here while he's working at it. He said he would do it. He does not lie. He always solves problems. He always gets things over on me. Amen. Talk to yourself. So, we are not to be dominated by our natural thinking. God told us to. Natural thinking only produces destruction and death. It's limited to the arm of the flesh or natural ability. Our minds without God's thinking and our bodies... our bodies, our natural desires and abilities. God said he's able to get into our minds directly through his spirit. God is able to do more than we might ask or imagine. You know, whatever you think about, he can do even more than what you think about. Notice the scripture in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Amplified Bible says, now unto him who is able to carry out his purposes and do super abundantly more than we can dare to ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to his power that has worked in me. You know, God is working in you right now. God is working for you right now. God is working and getting things ready through people and channels and his angels that work for you right now to get things for you. You know, the other day, I came here on Saturday or Sunday, Friday, and I walked into this room. I prayed for the chairs. I spoke to this place. I prayed that everybody comes into this place. I pray on Sunday morning when they walk in here, they'll be healed. I pray that when people come in here, the all our ushers and greeters and all the song leaders and people who do music, they're going to be so full of the Spirit. And when people walk in here, they're going to sense the presence of God. They'll feel the presence of God. They'll be so full. They'll start crying. They'll start laughing. And they'll just feel so wonderful being here. And I talked to somebody on Sunday. They said, you know, they were here, and they just about hardly make it to church. They made themselves here. And when they came here, all the pain left them. All the pain left them. Because it was just because they came into the place where corporate gathering was, and anointing was there, and just drove out the sickness, drove out the pain and everything like that. I've heard that testimony time and time again. Maybe I ought to pray that way every time, right? So we should do that. So over here, if you look at Romans chapter 8, verse 5 to 9, by the way, you know, I make sure I pray for you every day. I pray for your family, your children, your finances. I pray for the people that you meet. I pray that you'd be strong, vibrant. That's what pastors do. They pray for the people every day. Praise God. Amen. And I take it seriously. I'm a serious pastor, man. Amen. Praise God. Amen. That's part of my job description. I told Pastor Ken, it's your fault things aren't happening here. You better start praying. I'm doing my part. Pastor Steve, right? Yeah, he's doing his praying too. He's doing his part. Praise God. He's got a big family. He's got to pray. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 to 9, it says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. He's talking about Christians. You know, your body's not born again. And your mind is not born again. Your mind can think crazy things. Right? Your mind, your body, if you let your body do whatever it wants, it'll just go back smoking and drinking and running around and watching wild movies and fighting. Right? So your mind will do just about anything, but those who are controlled by the Spirit think about the things that please the Spirit. Verse 6. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature always was hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws. It never will. That's why those who are still under the control of the sinful nature can never please God. He's talking to Christians, right? Verse 9, but those of you who are controlled by the sinful nature, you're controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. So it's important what you say when you're going through a hard time, when you have a temptation to worry. Everybody here will have a temptation to worry. Just because you have a temptation to worry doesn't mean you're worrying. You know, you got to fight against it. I remember, you know, when I first got, you know, clean and off the street and started going, we say clean, you know, we just, that means we use stuff. So I'd go to the meetings and stuff like that, and I would sit there thinking about, I had to deal with my fears. That was the number one thing for me, was fear. Dealing with fears all the time. Fear of this, fear of that. I mean, all the time, you know, go to my room and look under my bed and look in my closet and make sure nobody was hiding in there. I was just obsessive, and the fears is overtaking me. And, you know, and one day I was sitting in the service, sitting in a meeting. I was going to leave that meeting thinking about what if I, when I get home, I'm afraid of being afraid. It's crazy. It started dominating my thought life. It took me a long time. You know, Christians can even, non-believers can actually do this. Non-believers can learn how to not worry as well. There's a little bit of an art to it as well, but because if you learn this from your old lifestyle, right? It says, dear brothers and sisters, over here, did I tell you what chapter? Is it on the page? Not up here? James chapter 3, verse 1 to 4, New Living. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. That's strong words, right? Indeed, we all make mistakes. For if we could just control our tongues, we would be perfect and could control ourselves in every other way. See how important the tongue is, how you use your tongue. We can make large horses go wherever we want by the means of a small bit in its mouth. He's using an illustration here about how the tongue can control the whole big horse, right? And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. So this little rudder can make the ship go wherever it wants to go, you know, even in big winds. That's amazing. So he's telling you, you can change that. You can be that, you know, take that rudder there. You can change where that horse is going to go. Or what do you call that bit in that rudder for that ship? You can change that. What you say will be the result of where you end up. What you say. I can tell every time when I talk to somebody. I learned this from Jesus, just reading the Bible. I can tell, when you sit down with someone, I can tell if that person's going to fail or they're going to have a hard time or they're going to make it. By their confession. You know, you can tell right away. Jesus said, the person who builds their house on the sand is going to sink. Build yourself on philosophy, whatever human thinking you want, is you're going to go down. But if you build your house on the foundation of my word, you'll always stand. You can tell people who are committed to the word, they're going to say what the word says, no matter what's going on in their life. They say, you know what? Hey, bless God. I know I'm in trouble. Hey, you got a bad report here. I know the bank's not going to give me the money, but I'm going to tell you something. God is coming through for me. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he said he's going to do it. Right? Praise God. You know, we could just, woo, thank God. And praise God because you got money in the bank. Right? Oh, you can praise God. Everybody's doing right in your family. Nobody's sick. Tuck all the kids in bed. Go to bed. Look in your fridge, a lot of food in there. And you're going to go to work. You got a job tomorrow. Or you get a good big paycheck tomorrow. It's easy to praise God and not worry then. But what happened when you lose that job and your livelihood is being challenged? And that's the time to pull up your confession and say, hey, listen, I might lose this job even, but hey, God's got another job. Got a better one for me. Three people are happy about that, but I'm telling you, that's the truth. That is the truth. I know, anyway. Praise God. So you can steer your way out of your storms. You can steer your way out of trouble. By your tongue. Learn to speak positively. I know this man over here does it. You speak in the midst of trying, difficult times, say the right thing. Most people say the wrong thing when you're going through a trial. I'm sick. Oh, let me tell everybody how bad it I am. The doctor said this, and they're kind of bringing the bandages over right now, and they're going to give me this big needle. And last time I had this, it took me 6 months to get out of it. My uncle had it, and he died. Stop talking that way. You know, I know, God says I'm going to be there for you all the time. So he said, what if I go down? Well, at least you go down with a positive word. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. I mean, if I say, Lord, I can't go down because if I go down, you go down. And you can't go down. God cannot lie. So I'm not lying. I'm telling you what God said. Praise God. I told the Lord that too. I would talk to the Lord. I talked to the Lord just like I talked to you. I said, listen here. I want to ask you a question. You know, we're on good terms, me and God. Yeah. Right? So, a lot of people we need to have reverence for the Lord, but he's there. He sees you every day, how you think about him, and you pretend you don't talk like that to him. He knows how you're thinking. You know, if I was God, I wouldn't do that. I've said that to the Lord a lot of times. If I were you, I would do this. If I was the Lord, I'd do this. But then you snap out of it for after a few seconds. Proverbs 13:3. Can you control a little bit? Can you take a couple more? Those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. Some of you shouldn't even open your mouth because you ruin everything. Praise God. So it can bring, the Bible says, Proverbs 18:21, the tongue can bring death or life, and those who love to talk will reap its consequences. Proverbs 18:21. New Living. And Proverbs 21:23, watch your tongue, keep your mouth shut, or you will stay, and you will stay out of trouble. You can see how much trouble we cause ourselves, right? And sometimes people wonder why, like today at a meeting, I was at a meeting, a business meeting over there, and they were wondering why I'm keeping quiet, because I said, if I start talking, you guys are going to, you won't let me say something here, because I'm going to say the wrong thing. I might as well not say anything. So, did I say 12:18? Some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. And Proverbs 40:8, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. So get that word in your mouth. Speak it. Watch out what you're saying during the heat of a battle. Use your tongue and voice to speak God's word, even when it looks so bad that it looks like you can't turn this around. Stay committed to the word, and the word will commit to you. Like the three Hebrew children. You remember them? The three Hebrew children. They stuck to the word of God in the hardest, difficult hour of their lives. You will have an opportunity someday to want to throw in the towel, but you got to learn to stay strong. The cares of life will always be coming to you daily. Notice these three boys over here, what they were committed to do when they face a hard situation. It's easier to make a decision before you go into a battle and when you're and being uncommitted prior. So every day when you get up is the key. Say, God, I will not worry today. I will not have one kind of worry. Worry is a sin. The Bible says worrying is a sin. It's disobedience to the word of God. You can see that in the scriptures and disobedience to God totally. And you need to tell yourself, I'm not going to be afraid today. No matter what it is, I'm committing to not be afraid. The Bible says, do not be afraid so many times. So it says here, let's go to the New Living Translation, and we'll use this for an example. Daniel chapter 3, verse 14 to 18, four verses of scripture. It says, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods and worship the gold statue that I have set up? I'll give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. But if you refuse, you'll be thrown immediately into the burning, blazing furnace. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my power? Listen, this is how the devil talks to you. This is the last time. Listen, you don't have any more recourse. You're going to go down. You have a sickness that no one can heal you. You've been trying to believe God for so many years, and little old you, you're still kind of hopping around. He'll tell you different things. He say, you'll never make it. You can never. This is the way he'll talk to you in the heat of a battle. He says, what God was able to rescue you from my power? He's going to say, your God's not going to help you. And then in verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. They're making a faith statement right here. Verse 17, if we are thrown in the blazing furnace, God, whom we serve, is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. That's positive. That's faith. In the midst, he's talking to the king here. The fire is burning right there. And they're standing there, and he said, I'm going to throw you in there if you don't worship this statue over there. He said, nope, we're not going to do it. And the doctor says, you got about a month here. What are you going to do about it? I don't know. You know, let me call Pastor Omo. The helpline. Sunday, it's only open on Sunday. Hey, is that going to happen? And who was that crying? Pastor Ken. Let me read that one more time, verse 17. If we're thrown in the blazing furnace, God, whom we serve, is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power. That's positive, man. That is so positive. You can't get any more positive than that. Verse 18, but even if he doesn't, that's not a statement of unbelief. That's a statement of their commitment. That's your commitment talking. He says, if he doesn't, I'm not going to do it anyway. I'm sticking with God. Yeah. That's their commitment. That's like, say, if I go down, God's going down with me. And he can't go down. Because if I go down, he's not real God. That's how much they had faith in God. You know, there's times that I said to myself about different things. You know, when things seem impossible, I stood my ground. I said, no, I'm going to stand here. And I know God called me. I'm not leaving. I don't care. If people don't come, I'm still going to be here. When I die and go to heaven, he's going to say, did I tell you that? Yep, that's what you told me to do. I'm here. What about all those people? I forget about them. They didn't want to stay. Praise God, okay. So if he doesn't, then we want to make it clear to you, Your Majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up. These young men knew how to speak during their difficult hour. In their stressful circumstances, where they're going to be fearful, they can be stressed out, and they're going to say, wait a minute. King, I've got to catch my breath here. I think I'm getting a heart attack. No. He spoke right back. So these young men knew this was a life and death matter. So give your burdens to God. It says here, Psalm 55, 22, give your burdens to the Lord. And he will take care of you. He will not permit the ungodly to slip or fall. Verse over here, it says, give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. That's what it says, NLT. Amplify says, cast your burdens on the Lord and release it to him, and he will sustain you and uphold you. So, in conclusion, give your cares to God. God invites you. He's inviting you right now, tonight, to throw it on him. Give it to him. Give your cares on God. You know, how do you know you've done it? Well, the way you know you've actually done it is this. If you're always thinking about, oh man, if you're always every day doing the same thing about the same problem, then you haven't thrown it on to the Lord. Once you throw it on the Lord, you say, and if it tries to get back, you just say, nope, God has it. I don't have it anymore. The Lord, and your mind tells you, listen, here's brother, so tell him how much trouble he has. I'm not going to tell him I'm trouble. I gave it to God. But what I'll tell him, though, is that, you know, God solved my problem, and I cast my care on the Lord, and he's taking care of it right now. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to sleep tonight. I'm not going to think about it anymore. He's got it. And when the devil brings it up, he said, nope, listen, God's got it right now. He's working on it right now while I'm sleeping. And he's got the angels moving. He's got people around doing things and opening up doors and causing things to fall into circumstances. We can pray that our circumstances work for us. Because we're kings and priests, the Bible says. We speak the word. A king will speak and decree a thing, it'll happen. God wants us to change our circumstances by speaking into our own world. Into our kingdom, amen? Let's all stand up. Is that any good? Yes. Praise God. Amen. Let's lift our hands and thank God. Father, we want to give you praise and thank you tonight for your operation of your spirit. You are here with us tonight. You said you'd be with us wherever we go. You're the omnipresent God. You're everywhere at the same time. And whoever we're praying for could be on the other side of the moon. And that's where you are. You're everywhere. There's no place in this planet or this universe that you're not. You're with our loved ones wherever they are. You're with that one in the hospital that we're caring for. You're the one, you're there with their mom and dad, wherever they are, our children. You're with our loved ones. You know everything about my body. You created my body. You can fix my body in a moment of time. And so, Father, I cast my care on you about my body. You said himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. You said you laid my sickness and disease on Jesus on that cross when he was there suffering. He took it upon himself so that I might be healed. And so according to the word, I say, I'm healed. I'm healed. Your body, your word says that Jesus took the crown of thorns on his head so that I might have peace. Peace of mind. So Father, I want to thank you. I have peace of mind. I'm not going to worry about a thing. I'm not going to be afraid of cancer or heart attacks or blood diseases or diabetes or any other sickness, because Deuteronomy 28 verse 61 tells me that sickness, every kind of sickness, is a curse of the law. And according to Galatians 3:13, you said that Jesus became a curse for me and I'm healed. You said that Jesus is my shepherd and I will not lack for anything. I will not lack material possessions, any kind of resources or money. I'm not going to worry about money. I'll not worry about any kind of money. But I'll call the money into my life. I call it because you said you provided my needs. You said that you provide all my whatever I want in this, whatever I need in this life to survive and enjoy good things as well. Thank you. Not just in, just barely getting along, but you things to enjoy. Maybe I want a little holiday, whatever, in Jesus' name. You said you'll take care of my children. You said my seed are blessed, and wherever they are, they have provision and they have openings and they have honor. Wherever they go, they're successful in whatever they do. And you said you'd give favor to our children. Doors will open to them. Incredible things are open to our children because you bless them. They'll have doors open for them that no one else can open. Woo-hoo-hoo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank you. Thank you, Lord. Maybe some of them are ran away. Maybe they ran away. But they're coming back. You said that you go to their camp and bring them back safely home. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 20. The Bible says 49:25 that God will go into the enemy's camp and bring your child out. Bring them right out. He said, I'll fight against the enemy that's fought against you and I'll save your children. Glory to God. Stand on the word of God. Stand on his promises. No matter, he said, well, you know, I've had this, I've had that happen to me. I don't have a future. God says, you have a good future. He said, you live long. Long life will not satisfy you. If you're not satisfied, come on, live some more longer. He said, well, but I'm sick. No, get healed and then die. Don't die sick. Amen? He said, I'm not dying sick. Well, somebody said, well, how are you going to die? Well, I'll just close my eyes and go home. That's how you got to believe. Amen. and say, here's Jesus, I'm going home. See you guys later. That's what we're going to believe in this house. Amen. Don't let me come to your bedside when you're sick. Just say, praise God, I'm not going to be there. I'm going to stay alive. Long, live long. Praise God, and keep bringing money here, and keep bringing your skill, your talent, your ability, your faith, and serve God. Amen. Well, guys, I love you. I did my best today. Be your best cheerleader right here. Amen. Woo! The people of God of Faith City Church are winners, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Run the race. Run the race. That's what I always pray, you know. Praise God. These people here at Faith City Church, they're strong, man. They're committed. They're blessed. They're healed. They keep running. They're the most faithful, committed people, reliable people I ever met in my life. Thank you that your children are growing up strong. And, you know, Timmy, we asked Timmy, little Timmy, my wife talks to him once in a while and tells me, you know, one day he'll be the pastor over here. That's a good confession. Praise God. Amen, little Timmy. Amen. I saw him here earlier. He got a leaf hat on. Amen. I said, what are you going to do now, Timmy? Praise God. Amen. Amen. You go home and be happy. Praise God. Amen. Praise God.